So the subject tonight is about loving through resistance. And in the groups, they're really, people report, there are really two groups in the group. One group has a lot of stuff coming up. Resistance, anger, irritation, sometimes confusion and despair, stuff. Another group has some love and some chesed, some grace, and some really pleasurable experiences of the heart. But there's no group in any that I've heard in these 2 or 3 days that says, oh, nothing's happening at all. I'm just having nice food. I'm going for walks. I'm saying hello to trees. Occasionally a bit bored, but it's a holiday, and meditations, well, they're okay, and we even do lying down sometimes, and I can have a little sleep in the hall, and it's really nice. Not one person. So in other words, the retreat is working. And it really doesn't matter whether we're having a hard time, so-called hard time, or a so-called easy time. It's the same. It's not easy to see all this stuff coming up as unconditional love. And in some way also, as I mentioned in one of the groups, we're used to metta being kind of controlled to be sweet. At the end of a retreat, we give some metta, and everyone feels good, and we give boundless love to all beings, Israelis, Palestinians, Africans, birds, trees, Nemalim, and we feel good. And there isn't any room for the stuff to come up, because we, in a way, condition the metta. We place conditions on it to be sweet. But actually, when we really practice with the heart, we touch places that hurt us. And up comes, with the phrases, may you be loving, may you forgive, may you this, up comes the guilt and the anger and the hurt. And in some way, what's happening is friction, chikuch, right? Friction. And friction is a fire. And the fire, the friction is when love, which is by its nature pure, in its essence pure and without condition, meets the conditioned personality based on history, self, struggle, wound, as I said, scars, ancient hurts from childhood. When the love meets all that stuff, that's friction. And that's heat. And in some way or other, love progresses, advances, tipuach, Simi was saying, love progresses because of the resistance. That it's just like when you walk. How do you walk? You walk because you press against the ground. The ground is resisting you so that you walk. If there was no resistance, you couldn't move. So we move because of resistance, or along with resistance. And so love moves because of resistance, because of all this stuff. Love begins to move because we have material, we have fire, we have struggle. And in that fire, the love begins to be more pure, more understood, more close, more dialogue with it, more intimacy with the love territory. And it's not sweet anymore. We need to take risks. Some of us here have said, I want to go home. I understand it perfectly. It's all right, one can go home. But it's more interesting to take risks. And the risks are in some way that we lose our boundaries, we lose the safe place where we are more comfortable, we lose the sweetness even, we lose boundaries where we want to be safe and we want to be ourselves and we don't want things to be shaken up and wild emotions to take us away. So we shouldn't be afraid of the non-perfect in us, the imperfect. Actually, these emotions of imperfection, the anger and the frustration and the resistance, they are the handles. They actually are the handles which we can use to get closer to love. They are the ways which we can get closer to love. Because we don't need to be afraid of these emotions and the struggle. What we do need to be afraid of is falling asleep, is emotional anesthesia, hardama, falling asleep is the risk in ordinary automatic life, doing, living, working, dying. Falling asleep is our problem, not negative, so-called negative emotions. They are our opportunity. It's an old slogan in Dharma language, in Vipassana language, that we can't let go of stuff until we see it. We can't let go of anything that we don't see. First we have to know the inner world, then we can do something about it, we can let it go, we can transform it, we can, instead of running away from it, we can meet it, and when we meet it, something happens. We're in control, we're in relationship with it. So when up comes the difficult stuff, the resistance, and so on and so on, we have something to work on. We're in relationship to a truth in us which is more important than the covering over for the sake of a comfortable life, which is the covering over that makes anesthesia. The whole process is about letting go of the self. The whole process of Dharma is about letting go of the boundaries. And the metta practice is actually the same. It's about letting go of stuff in order to embrace, even for moments, more expanded self, a bigger self. We let go of the small self built up of a lot of stuff, covered over, boxed in, somewhat afraid. This is the process of expansion, of letting go our boundaries, is what the Dharma practice is about, whether it's through metta or through vipassana mindfulness. The same. I'll tell you a story of a young woman called Dalida. And I don't know if anyone here has met her. Maybe old time Dharma people have met her before. She had cancer, and she had a very hard time with her cancer, struggling for many years. And she went to a retreat sort of by accident, and then she went to another retreat, and she really found that it gave her inner peace. It gave her some sense of being able to look at her situation, even with some humor. I remember one time in the retreat when she was really quite sick, and she had to carry with her all the time a oxygen cylinder. And the cylinder was on wheels. And so she was pulling the cylinder with the wheels behind her, and it kept falling over. And she was laughing at this object there, saying, "Oh, there goes my life. Look at that, boom. Look at that, boom." And she was laughing, you know. So she, the Dharma gave her, and a certain personal qualities gave her power to be less drowned by her situation. And she joined a retreat with Marcia, a metta retreat, in the kibbutz in Bar. And towards the end of the retreat, we were sitting there and we asked her, you know, "How is it for you?" And she said, "Just what we're hearing here." And so much resistance, so much anger. I could scream. I don't want to hear these phrases anymore. I don't want to say the phrases. I don't want to know about loving anybody. And it's just terrible. All I see is my pain and my pain and my suffering, and I just everywhere and so on. Yeah, but at one point, I went out on the path, and I had one moment of unconditional love, and that for me changed my life. And she died soon afterwards, but she died, according to people who were with her, in great peace. I think we need an understanding, deeply to understand that the whole self that we are is built as a defense against emptiness. It's not that we want to search for emptiness. We are made of emptiness, and the self is there in order to stop it. That's the sort of deep insight of awareness, that the purpose of the self is as a barrier against emptiness, as nothingness, which is so painful to us. And we don't want to know about it. And all the angers and all this is about that. We don't want to be hurt. What that means is we don't want to be made nothing. We don't want to be made smaller. We don't want to be made weaker. We don't want to be made to disappear. We don't want to be threatened. We don't want to be... So we're building, everything is built from the self, which is construction to stop emptiness. And love, just like awareness, is actually inviting us to emptiness. Because love doesn't really belong to us. It's not that, my love. It's just love that flows through. And metta, unconditional love, is actually destructive of the self. It actually destroys the self. It's not something we can say, oh, we do metta practice at the end of the retreat. It's not sweetness. It's destroying the self. It's melting the self. And our patterns come up to block the love from actually working in us, because the love melts the self. And so up comes the pattern, oh, anger, oh, resistance, oh, I don't want to know about love, oh, leave me alone, oh, it's all too much, oh, So underneath, we may notice this dynamic that love actually is threatening, and that when it meets the biography, meets the story of our life, that's where our patterns are blocking the love, our tavniyot, our patterns block the love, and that's where all the friction comes, the anger, the this or that. The self is made of control. Control of ourselves so that we survive, control by parents to shape us into somebody, control by life. And all of these things block us and, in a way, close the love. So we practice here in different ways to touch this love, this way and that way and another way. And there's many ways to do this, and we don't have the answer. I don't